I have waited so long for the Gavlik bench to outnumber the brown bench. Gotcha. Oh, no, God is good. Those of you that have been around week after week after week know that we are in the Epistle of James, the stepbrother of Jesus, who was not a believer when Jesus was teaching, but became one after his death and resurrection. And what James did is what we all have to do. He chose to believe in Jesus. And it's a choice every one of us has to make. It's different. And it was so beautiful to see JL. Because when she walked through that door this morning, she looked different. Because she was different. I can't wait to see what she has to say when she fills in for me on August the 4th. No, oh well, I'll tell you, last time, no, Darwin's going to take care of it. Last time, when we were in the book of James, we considered God's judgment to help us overcome these temptations that come our way. And the second thing that we have to consider in today's scripture is God's goodness. God is good. Now, you're all open to Epistle of James. If there's a couple of stragglers, I'll wait. The Bible's under the seat in front of you. James is toward the back of the Bible. Right after Hebrews. One of our enemy's tricks is that he tries to convince us that the Father is holding out on us. He doesn't really love you. He doesn't really care for us. And you see that in the very beginning of the Bible, when Satan came to Eve. He suggested that if God really loved her, he would let her eat everything in the garden, including that tree in the middle of the garden, of which she was told not to eat. And when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, he brings up the question of hunger. Now, I'm allowed to extrapolate a little bit. Maybe Satan said something like this. Jesus, if your Father loves you, why are you hungry at all? Just make these stones bread and satisfy yourself. It's the same thing he says to us daily. Why aren't you doing that, Ken? Just go over there and satisfy yourself. The goodness of God is a barrier against yielding to those temptations. And since God is good, we don't need any other person, including Satan especially, to meet our needs. I don't need anybody to meet my needs as long as I have God. It is better to be hungry in the will of God than to be full to the brim out of his will. And once we start to doubt God's goodness, Satan's offers look awful attractive. And then our natural desires within us reach out to grab the bait. Now, we talked about bait last week, where the worm on the hook camouflages the hook so it doesn't look like a hook. Or that steelhead wouldn't grab it, or salmon, or whatever you're fishing for. Well, Satan is out there fishing for souls. And so in the book of James, James now will present to us four facts. A fact is truth. Four facts about the goodness of God. I'm going to begin reading, still in chapter 1, down to verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Now, everybody here, I imagine, has received a gift over the years. You have birthdays and anniversaries and weddings, and you receive gifts, and I'm sure you've gotten some. I have received many gifts over the years. Some we love. Some we wish we never received. You hear the old expression, oh, another tie. By the way, I happen to like ties. But we're human. And there's times we don't always pick out a good gift. But God, He gives only good gifts. Everything good in this world comes from God. Even when we don't see the goodness in it immediately. If it comes from God, it must be good. No question about it. Now, I could tell you a story about myself, about a gift that I got from God that I did not consider was very good. I'm not going to go that route because that's not about this morning. But Paul had a thorn in the flesh. It was given to him by God. And it seemed a strange gift because he prayed three times for God to take it away. Yet, in the end, it became a tremendous blessing to him. If you want to read about that, it's in 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10. I don't always give you the scripture, and I won't, but I have them. If you want to know something that I don't mention, ask me after. Not only are God's gifts good, but the way that God gives is good. It's possible for us humans to give a gift in such a manner that is less than loving. Maybe you have some resentment in your heart about having to buy that person a gift. And so you're walking, you throw it down. There's your gift. But when God gives us a blessing, He does it in a loving, a gracious manner. What He gives and how He gives, both are always good. Another thing that we have to know is that our God gives constantly. The gifts never start pouring out of the faucet above you, ever. It's you that walk away from the faucet and you don't receive the blessings. They're constantly coming from Him. In verse 17, there's a phrase that was used by James. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down. That phrase, comes down. That is in present See, English was my worst subject. Participle. There you go. Thank you, Lord. It's in present participle. It means it keeps on coming down. There's no end to the blessings come out of the faucet. He does not give occasionally. He keeps on giving. And when we don't see his gifts, he's still sending them. How do we know this? Because God's word says so. And we believe his word. Everything in this book that he recorded for us is true. There's no lies in here. He records lies that the Satan throws out so that we know what they are and we can avoid them. There's one more fact about God's goodness. God doesn't change. In fact, it's impossible for God to change. He can't change for the worse because he's holy. And you know he can't change for the better? Because he's already perfect. Picture the light of the sun. It varies as the earth rotates and moves around and changes. But it's still shining just as bright as ever. All night long, while it's dark, it's shining bright and shiny. It's on the other side of the earth, but it's there. So if any shadows come between us and the Father, it's not because of God. It's because of us. He is the unchanging God. Now, do you fully realize what that means? When we realize what that means, we should never question his love or doubt his goodness when difficulties come our way or temptations appear. Now, the first barrier against temptation that I talked about was a kind of a negative tense. The judgment of God. Judgment sounds negative. But the second barrier is positive. Goodness of God. So, a fear of God is healthy. Now, fear, you know, doesn't mean cowering down and trembling because he's going to beat you. Fear is reverence, respect, honor. And so love balances a fear of God. We can only obey God because he may chasten us for doing wrong. Or we can take the other road. We can obey him because he's already been so generous to us. And we love him. Know this. God's gifts are always better than Satan's bargains. Because Satan, he doesn't give any gifts. And the bargains he proposes that we grab for, they are costly. So the next time we are tempted, we should think about the goodness of God in our life. If you think you need something, wait on the Lord to provide it. Because if you run right out there and grab it, one, it may not be what you really need. Two, the timing of getting it may not be right. But if you wait for the Lord to provide it to you, the timing is always exactly right. And the gift is always perfect for you. waiting. One purpose for temptation is to teach us patience. Temptation says, go get that. Grab it, Ken. Patience says, wait for the Lord to present it to me. King David, twice he was tempted, and the opportunity was there for him to kill Saul and take over the kingdom as being king. Twice. And his men with him. David, now's your chance. The Lord's provided for you. And David resisted, did he not? He waited for the Lord to open the door for him to be king. Verse 18. Of his own will. We're talking about God here. He, God, brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This verse here tells us, consider God's divine nature inside you. This third barrier to temptation is telling us to look within and realize we have been born from above. We possess the divine nature. And this divine nature has characteristics. This second birth, this born again. The first thing is, it's divine. It's not human, it's divine. You remember Nicodemus? Jesus said to him, you must be born again. And what did Nicodemus say? Can I enter my mother's womb again and be born again? No, this birth is not of the flesh that Scripture is talking about. This birth is from above. Now, none of us here created our own birth. So we can't generate our own spiritual birth. But when we put our faith in our Lord Jesus, God performs a miracle. And we are born again. Another characteristic is it's gracious. It's gracious because we didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. God gave us spiritual birth strictly from his grace and his will. And it's through God's word. Human birth requires two parents, a man and a woman. The word of God and the Spirit of God are the two parents for a divine birth. John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So we have the Spirit. And then we jump over to 1 Peter quick-like, and it says, the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to bring about the miracle of the new birth. And he's talking about being born again there. So we have the Spirit of God using the Word of God, and there's the parents of being born again. And since the Word of God is living and powerful, we saw that in Hebrews, it can generate life in the heart of the sinner who trusts in Jesus Christ. And the last characteristic I'll mention today is it's the finest birth possible. Nothing better. I saw it in her eyes. Nothing better than that. We are the kind of first fruits of God's creatures, is what verse 18 said. Now, James is writing to Jewish believers. And they would know what first fruits means. Now, I don't know if everybody out here knows what first fruits means that's mentioned in verse 18. So I'll do a quick explanation of it. In the Old Testament, the Jews brought the first fruits of the land, the first clump of grapes they picked, the first clump of wheat they harvested, and they brought it to the priest of the temple, and it was sacrificed to the Lord. It was an expression of their devotion and their obedience to Almighty God for providing the fruit and the potatoes and the wheat. If you want to read all about that, it's Deuteronomy chapter 26. In fact, why don't I read some of that? You have no place to go today. I'll shorten it. Verse 26. It shall be when you come into the land, which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. Then the priest shall take the basket out of your hand, set it down before the altar of the Lord your God, and you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God, worship before the Lord. It was a command. It's beautiful. Of all the creatures God has in this universe that he created, the Christians are the highest and the finest because we share God's nature. That alone makes it beneath our dignity to accept Satan's bait when he's dangling it in front of us. A higher birth means a higher life. And by granting us, because God gave it to us, the new birth, he's telling us, I can't accept your old birth. No matter how noble it might seem to be in the eyes of men, well, this person is a good man. Look at everything he's doing. He's the mayor. He's the governor or whatever. But God says, you must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. There's no other way. And Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the life. I am the way. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. There is no other way. It's this new birth that helps us overcome temptation. If we let the old nature, that's from the first birth, if we let the old nature take over, we will fail. But if we surrender to the new nature, the spirit birth, we will succeed because that new nature comes from Christ. Now, sometimes out of a young child, you can learn a lot. I have. A young Sunday school child explains that concept this way. Two men live in my heart. The old Adam and Jesus. And when temptation knocks at the door, somebody has to go answer it. If I let Adam answer it, I sin. So I send Jesus over there to answer it because he always wins. That's cute. It's simple. True. But this new nature needs food. It needs food every day, just like this human body needs food every day. And to be strong for the battle, the food that this new nature needs is the Word of God. You got to be in the Word every day. Jesus quoted the Word to Satan when he tried to tempt him. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written, man doesn't live by bread alone. Just as the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to give us a spiritual birth, he uses the Word to give us spiritual strength. No matter what excuses we make, we have nobody to blame for sinning but ourselves. Our own desires is what leads us into the temptations of sin. And that's why God gave us these three barriers. We need these barriers to win the crown. Verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he is tried, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. But if we breach these barriers, we find the coffin. Verse 15. When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for sending your Son down to save us. We thank you for giving us these barriers, these strengths to grab hold on, to keep us holy, and to keep us focused on you. And when temptations come, we look to you for our strength and guidance. And as we command that Satan just get behind us and stand beside you, you increase our faith. Every time we overcome a temptation, you increase our faith. And so we pray this morning to increase our faith, Lord, stronger and stronger every day till you come again to take us to your holy land. In Jesus' name we come. Amen.